Welcome to Wisdom Wednesday, an hour of radio so full of deep thoughts. Proving it actually makes the King Dude sound smarter than liberals and Decepticons think he is.
I can't compete with you physically, and you're no match for my brains.
You're that smart.
Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
Wisdom Wednesdays, your ticket to the truth that comes included with your Veritas Radio Network subscription, exclusively on Crusade.
Why are you always on about women, Stan? I want to be one.
I do feel, Reg, that any anti-imperialist group like ours must reflect such a divergence of interest within its power base.
Agreed. Rogers? Yeah, I think Judith's point of view is very valid, Reg. Provided the movement never forgets that it is the inalienable right of every man
or woman
to rid himself
or herself.
Agreed.
Thank you, brother.
Or sister. Where was I?
I think you finished.
Oh, right. Furthermore, it is the birthright of every man
or woman.
Why don't you shut up about women, Stan? You're putting us off.
Women have a perfect right to play a part in our movement, Reg.
Why are you always on about women, Stan?
I want to be one.
What?
I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
But why do you want to be Loretta, Stan?
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies!
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb. Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
Here, I've got an idea. Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, not having a womb, which is nobody's fault, not even the Romans, but that he can have the right to have babies.
Good idea, Judith. We shall fight the oppressors for your right to have babies, brother. Sister, sorry. What's the point?
What?
What's the point of fighting for his right to have babies when he can't have babies? It is symbolic of our struggle against oppression.
Symbolic of his struggle against reality.
We have Stan from the Monty Python troupe refusing to conform his mind to the reality that he is a man. You want to have babies?
I'll drive a million miles.
Have you ever heard these guys sing Kyrie song?
No, I have not.
They do?
It was the number one hit back in the 80s. The song started a Kyrie song. You never heard it?
Nope, I have not.
Hey, Popey Power. See if you... That's Christopher's nickname, is Popey Power. See if you can find me a Mr. video for Kyrie Eleison from U-Boob. Hey, by the way, it is a Wisdom Wednesday segment, and the real wisdom has now shown up. The Sapientia is in the house in the form of David Simpson, who is...
I love a clap, man. I love it.
Now, the only thing that we... Now, I'm just going to throw this out to the audience. If you're listening and you can get six people in your office to download the app, or if they have the app, to turn it on right now and click the listen button, we will destroy the previously set single simultaneous listening record for the Crusade channel. How about another one?
Yeah, well, that's what... And my household's bound to turn on any second. Let me... Man, I'm a text Rachel right now. Get your butt on the phone and...
844-527-8723 is our telephone number here on a Wisdom Wednesday. It is the Mike Church Show here, part of the Veritas Radio Network, on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. By the way, we released another meme today. Today's meme and our radio the way it should be marketing campaign is America the way it should be. And guess who I chose for an American?
John Wayne?
Ronald Wilson Reagan.
Reagan.
I chose Ronald Reagan. For today's meme, and you can download those. I need to get those into the into the affiliate program. And that's just another example of why the April to May the 11th.
I just got a text that my mother-in-law is listening as I'm texting her daughter to listen. So I think we're going to do it today, Mike.
All right. So we're very close to the single time record. As a matter of fact, we're shattering every 15 minute segment as we go along here today. Our telephone number, this endeavor began 6 months ago today. You were here, David.
I was. We did a press conference.
We did. No. We did the press conference before. Was on you, Boob.
I'm confusing my days then.
You know that several of the people that attended the press conference and expressed such great interest in our endeavor have just got they're gone.
Well, you know, you can't please them all, Mike.
We haven't changed what we're doing here. If anything, we've been made more free to, or been empowered or inspired to do more.
Oh, I think absolutely.
Than we were doing before.
I sent you a text yesterday that you are doing inspired work, and I meant that. You're crushing it every day. And you're doing it in a way that's both entertaining but also enlightening. And then you also express regularly that you don't have all the answers, and you have a humility that you're trying to express to say, look, guys, I'm just doing the best I can, but I think I'm on to something here.
So did you hear my let's get to the phones before we prattle on too long. But did you hear my explanation yesterday of actually, I know you did because you responded. Your version, your view of secession, Mark Kreslin's version, yeah. And then my view of secession. And I read your response, and then Mark talked about his today. And then Mark's position is, look, we got to leave the federal before we can deal with the problems in the states. So
So my position, and I know it's really a tightrope. I mean, I'm not saying that I have any way to enunciate how to do this, because I guess if we knew how to handle authority, we'd be handling God just fine. My position is this, that every authority, all authority descends, right? All authority comes from God.
Right.
And that even evil authorities that if we consider, like if you look in past times, people say, oh, well, Hitler came from God. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, he did. Maybe it was a punishment from God for us, not for whatever that country, maybe not following his commands. I don't know, but the answer is that I know authority descends. I can't deny that fact. That subordinate authorities, meaning even state authorities, somehow or another are getting their power from God. Pontius Pilate, for instance, was a bad leader, right? And what did Christ say? You'd have no authority, but it were given to you from above. So he even acknowledged that the state, even abusing its authority, is a lawful power.
And this is one of the... Can we discuss this as we go?
Sure.
It's one of the... and by the way, folks, today is our six-month anniversary. We began a campaign about a month ago. It ends today to rally crowdfunding support, to rally paid membership support, and to rally listeners to this this program and this channel in increased numbers. I can give you some details on the increased numbers, because that has happened. On the amount of increase in memberships, it has happened. And then the crowdfunding. None of them are what was what I projected that I thought that we needed. And it just puts us in a position where some things may have to change if we don't hit those targets today. So if you'd like to assist, crowdfunding effort is at the 50. It was a meager $15,000. It's at the 50% mark approximately right now, thanks to a heroic, generous effort yesterday by Richard Bakemeyer and our friends at Buck Steel and others. You can find the membership effort is about half of the 100 and a half of the 300. And then the listener increases, it's just slowly and incrementally. It is building. I mean, I can do numerically now say that it most certainly is. But you can find out about all these, about becoming an affiliate. Go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com and then click on the Veritas tab at the top of any page, and then click on the click the SOS, as in Save Our Station tag, or menu item, and that will bring you to the page. It'll tell you all about it. When Christ said, you have no power other than what my Father has given to you, in my journey of discovering the truth of the catechism and the magisterium and of the moral code and the way that we are supposed to conduct our affairs and in the proper order of things, I have never understood how we went from our Lord saying, well, render unto Caesar what is his and unto God what is his, and cannot see the plain meaning and the difference between that And there is a difference between you have no authority other than what my father has given to you. Because, you know, you'll get the, and I won't mention any sex or anything here, but you'll get the well, we have to do this because we're told that we have to render under Caesar what is Caesar, so we have to have government. That's not what that's not the way I take that to mean.
Well, no, I don't think that proves that you have to have government. I think that's proved somewhere
else. Well, they say it proves that we have to have government, we have to have American government, we have to pay taxes.
Yeah, I think what they usually say is that somehow proves that you have to have slavish obedience to government, and you're not supposed to have slavish obedience to government.
No.
God didn't create us as governments. He created us as individuals, and our individual conscience is always active. That's the hard part. That's what's going on here. What we're seeing is a contest between the individual conscience, which I think Kreslin's is more sympathetic to, and which I, by the way, I sympathize with because I feel the same way. I just know that I have to fight my feelings sometimes. And so my answer to Mark is not, see, if we say I reject authority, federal authority or any authority.
Eight short.
Eight.
Come on, right there, right
come
there.
Come on, eight people.
Popey power.
Besides, you know what I really miss is this incredible description I'm giving. I'm sure it's completely wrong. Some theologian's going to call up and blast me.
I doubt it.
But we don't want to reject authority out of hand. What we want to do is say when authority acts illegitimately, right?
That's right.
And so if it's acting illegitimate, we're in the tough circumstance we're in now, which is, for instance, if I throw off federal authority or any authority and then later on try to assert that there should be a governmental authority, on what basis would I do so? I've just shown that I have absolutely no regard for it. So if I reject it out of hand, then I'm saying that I don't believe in a superior authority or that the authority somehow comes from me and goes up, which I reject out of hand. So if
a priori, you right. reject it.
If authority descends,
yes.
then all authority above us, that we're subordinate to, is legitimate.
Is legitimate.
It's a proper authority, I guess we should say. Its legitimacy is if it follows the right way of acting. And that's the problem we have now, is our authorities will not make themselves under God. Right? If they made themselves under God, we wouldn't be having this discussion. But since they don't, and since they believe they're the highest power, they're abusing us, and we rightly, by our individual conscience, are just saying, hey, something's wrong here.
We got to stop this. Jefferson, who was not a religious man by any and all indications, doesn't mean that he wasn't a thinking man, because he was. When he wrote these words, I think he kind of frames into the Declaration of Independence, and this is all preamble. It's not legal, but in the preamble, he frames into it, or he folds into it how we should look at this when we get to the point where, all right, that's it, we've had enough. And when he says, and most people don't even know this, if I say, what document begins its text with when in the course of human events, people will be stumped, because they just, all they know is, oh man, I need some pictures. All men's created equals. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. This is just beautiful prose. As a matter of fact, Chesterton said this might be some of the best government, some of the best literature ever written on this continent.
Mm-hmm.
I read that in his review when he came to America.
Yeah.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Now, if we were to just reword this very simply, I'll do it for him, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature's God and the law of nature entitle them. Now we've got the order correct. So the only quibble we may have is that he kind of implies here that, well, there's two separate powers, and one is not derived from the other, because you don't have nature, you don't have created things in nature without a creator.
Yeah. Well, you know, I obviously we're,
it's a small quibble.
It's an important line to draw. It's a hard, like I said, a tightrope to kind of walk. I think the final answer is, or the final question maybe would be for both Mark and I, is when does a government become so illegitimate in the exercise of its abuse, I should say abuse of authority, that we can rightly say, I'm not listening anymore, nor am I not only not listening, but I'm willing to take up arms to defend myself because I know you're wrong and I'm right, right? That's the hard part. And I don't, like I said, if I had the answer, I would surely bottle it and sell it. I don't have the answer. I do think the founders were right in what they did, though.
Right.
In other words, they sent letter after letter after emissary.
They did.
Saying, please, we're begging, we're asking
please.
You to stop doing these things, right? So in other words, what were they doing in that process? They were recognizing legitimate monarchical authority. We should be recognizing legitimate federal authority, but they're not acting legitimately. They're acting illegitimately. So we recognize the authority, but we got to acknowledge the illegitimacy. Now what do we do? We take different paths. I don't know.
So if we send petitions.
We definitely got to do that. Right?
Send petitions and say to Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General of the United States, because as soon as North Carolina falls like a polka accordion, and they're going to.
Here it comes.
Yeah. As soon as we hear the Lawrence Welk polka music, folks, you'll know that the gig is up.
Everyone dance. Honey, where are my lederhosen? Where are my lederhosen?
I see myself doing this. So as soon as North Carolina falls like the
proverbial... I didn't know that was a North Carolina state anthem.
It's got to be. As soon as they fold like an accordion, then a letter... You're the attorney. Tell me how they actually do this. A letter is going to be sent out from Loretta Lynch's office, from the Injustice Department, and it's going to be sent to every governor, every executive head of state, and every attorney general, ordering them that you must now also comply. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
Because it's going to go, a federal judge is going to go like, all right, North Carolina, you're wrong. And then North Carolina is going to appeal. It'll ultimately get to Andy Kennedy, and a 5-3 majority is going to say, whatever, dude. Now, sex is whatever we say it is, or whatever they say it is. You guys are wrong. I don't think anyone is really clearly anticipating the magnitude of these decisions. The magnitude of actually stating that a government has the authority to change the definition and the very nature of the gender of the human race. What difference is that from what the Nazis tried to do?
It's no difference, you know, Mike. That really might be the line. Like, you know, so because I don't know when is the illegitimacy become so bad that we say off with you, but maybe that's it. Maybe when they start in their own minds redefining what a human being is or what a man is.
Well, right.
For instance, you know, you can make the same argument about the abortion thing. They said, oh, we can't decide when a human life exists, so you can kill it up to 6 months. Well, what are you killing? You're killing a human life, right?
Right.
Oh,
right.
No, we don't know that. Yes, you do. You just want to deny it. So maybe we should, you know, we definitely should have started then. And, of course, the protests did start then, and they continue unabated. But maybe that is it. Maybe we say, you know what? You've dispatched yourself. You've broken from reality here to such a degree that we just can't trust you as a leader.
Right.
And so therefore we're breaking. Again, everyone's going to call in and say, well, David, people have sent letters and they have sent petitions and they have.
Mr. Simpson, please.
Right. Right. and I acknowledge that. And by the way, I thank everyone who's ever done any of those efforts because it slowed the erosion of our country. It slowed it down. I don't know. We're at a point in time. And this is dangerous. No, you're absolutely right, Mike. These decisions are so unbelievable. The outcome of these things can only be that anybody with an ounce of morality is going to have the crosshairs on them very soon.
844-527-8723 is the telephone number. I actually wrote I wrote this. The document's already been written. I wrote it for David Zuniga of the America Again outfit in Texas. Who thinks that we can fix this through jury interposition and through having grand juries indict members of Congress, which I studied the whole thing. And I think that there is there is some merit to that. You could do it. I don't think anyone is actually going to do it.
Right.
Which I think then is, okay, so where does that leave you? And I think it leaves us at the position that the framers found, that the founders found themselves in. I think it leaves them in a position that the people of Hungary found themselves in 5-6 years ago. They went, enough is enough.
Yeah.
What about the people of England that are getting ready to go to the polls and are going to vote on whether or not to secede from the European Union, which is probably going to pass overwhelmingly? And then Scotland is going to say, Ireland, I can't wait to be done with you. We can't wait to be done with you, wankers. Of course, London has its own problems electing a devoutly Muslim mayor.
Yep.
They've invited direct Orthodox heresy into their official government. It's over. They're toast. There's going to be a war. People are going to die in London in horrible, horrible skirmishes, just like it happened during the Crusades. Just like, what is the part of Spain where the Muslim Mohammedan madmen took over first? Is that Catalonia?
Well, they ran all the way up. Almost took all of Spain. They ran all the way.
They were stopped at one place.
Right. Well, probably about 2/3 or 3/4 up. I don't really know. But yeah, it might be about the area.
But it's going to be, it'll be just like that all over again. And then you're stuck with them and you fight a 1,000-year-long battle. And this is because you so selfishly, wantonly, pridefully, arrogantly, foolishly, you deny the divinity of our Lord. Mm-hmm. You deny the kingship of Christ. And you deny what you had, Christendom, so that you can have a couple of guys playing in philosophical laboratories and trying to set man free, yeah, and to free him from the monkish chains that had held him back. Right.
You know, I do like the idea, though, of the lesser magistrates challenging the superior magistrates. I think that's a great approach. So, you know, when they...
Why shouldn't we try it, then?
We got
to
ask...
Well, we'd have to have a magistrate to do it.
We got
to...
I know. You saw I wrote my letter to the DA when he got elected and when they came out with the Obergefell decision, right? I said, are you going to prosecute me if I don't do these things?
Did he ever answer you?
Yeah, he privately. Oh, well, you know. You know I'm a religious man. Well, okay, will you stand up, please? But people are asking this all over. We have a couple of state reps that are doing stuff like this. We have sheriffs who are standing up. We need more of it. And I don't think that – I think the idea of jury nullification is acceptable and legitimate. We just need a lot more of it.
844-527-8723 is our telephone number. I'd like to thank the Christopher. I have no idea who was on these lines. I already talked to Mitch, so he can't be on line 3. I already talked to Mitch on line 3. It can't be Mitch.
Who is on the line?
I can't hear you. Oh, okay. Well, who's on 2? I already talked to him, too. It can't be Richard in Fort Worth because I talked to him already. Well, you said you refreshed it for me. I'm looking right at it. No. I don't think your instant messenger is sending. I guess this is Rick. I don't know, Rick. Where Rick? Somewhere across the Amberway is a fuel.
Hey, Mike. It's Rick Andrasik. I'm in Illinois.
Rick in Illinois. All right, Rick. How you doing?
Actually, I think I'm going to change it from the Driftless region. In the corner Driftless of Illinois, Northwest, that really is, there's a region that includes part of Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, or Iowa, and Minnesota, which is a more natural region in the state itself with its boundaries.
Well, you know, if you just told the Chicagoans, all right, all of you in the Chicago land, we're voting you off the island. You're out. And then all of Southern Illinois can become Iroquois or whatever it is that they once wanted to name it, and at least you'll be done with that problem.
Well, you know, I'm in Northwest Illinois, and we're sort of rural here, and everyone would be glad to get rid of Chicago.
So it's you're
really
near...
They're decimating the state.
Okay, so you're near Wisconsin, then.
Yeah, I'm sort of near, Dubuque, Iowa. I'm about 8 miles from the Wisconsin border, and then, you know, you can almost see Minnesota, too. So it's sort of, you know, like it's sort of a regional area. And there's more... What's interesting, like you talk about secession or natural secession, this is an area that would make more sense for this area than part of 4 states to be its own location than to be part of each of these states. But, you know, be it as it is.
So, Are you proposing? I mean, I can see the little republics up there. Now, imagine though that at one time where you were currently, if you are there, you were currently calling me from. That area was part of the Northwest Territory.
Right.
You actually volunteered to join the Union, you idiots.
Not me.
Not you. Your ancestors volunteered to join the Union, even though Jefferson even said at the time, you don't have to. As a matter of fact, in the Constitution, it even says, in Article 4, Section 3, it says, well, you know, the territory that we call Northwest, new states may be admitted by the Congress into this union, but no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state, So that whole clause is about territories. The Congress shall have the power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory. And, of course, they reformed the Northwest Territory. Or the property belonging to the United States, and nothing in this Constitution shall be construed as to prejudice any claims of the United States or of any other or any particular state. Basically, if you read, and of course you're reviled by history if you do, and you're told that you're an nincompoop, if you read Justice Taney's decision in Dred Scott, he actually quotes Article 4, Section 3 and explains that, well, it's true that either Congress did not have the authority over the territories or they did. And if they had power over territories, then where did the power extend to? And could the Congress also, if the territories decided that they did not want to be part of the United States, could the Congress compel them to be part of the United States? And the answer that that Taney came back with is no, they can't. And so, therefore, Congress can't make rules pertaining to Dred Scott. Now, Kevin Gutzman says this is the worst judicial decision in the history of the world, in the history of the Republic. Not Brown versus Board or any of the other atrocities. Of course, Roe versus Wade has to be the worst. But I say that I read the part, and I read the territory part. I said, well, maybe the decision that they arrived at, which the Chief Justice, Taney, wrote, but certainly not what he wrote about the territory clause. And if we were to read that and understand that, then you people like Suzanne Sherman out there in Utah and people out there in Wyoming and in other parts that used to be Western territories, you would know then that at the time that Congress created the BLM and started claiming that they had power over the lands, that they seized it. They invented it. They most certainly did not have that power. Anyways, I just thought I'd throw that in. What did you actually call about now that I've hogged up all your time?
Well, as you were talking about, we've been discussing this issue with the schools, but it reminded me of G.K. Chesterton, who pegged the whole situation way back with his battles with the Fabians, when he basically described the progression of what's going on. He says the Fabians, of course, wanted free marriage and divorce and all that stuff.
Right.
He says basically what we're looking at is an attack on the family. He says now what that is really is an attack on Christianity. He says, and of course, attack on Christianity is ultimately an attack and denial of God.
That's right.
Well, and ultimately, what we're looking at is we're denying nature because the whole battle is really an attack on God. I mean, you could say, oh, they're after the family, but really, the end game is really to, Lucifer's whole argument. He's battling God.
Yeah.
And that's these people who join forces with. The sad thing is, it's like, Gramsci and Italy?
Mm-hmm.
But even before then, you had Dewey and all these people infiltrated the education system. And so basically, all these public schools, they're all products of this progressive anti-Christian movement. I guess you'd be hard pressed to find most education colleges turning out anything but these kind of people that are going to promote this insanity.
Well, do we really want to call them education colleges? Are they how much educating is going on?
Well, I guess it's indoctrination colleges of indoctrination, but
I mean, even small colleges and community colleges or in colleges that operate under the umbrella, say, like in Louisiana, we have LSU, Louisiana State University, Well, here near where I live, we have Southeastern Louisiana State University. It's still part of the LSU system. In Lafayette, Louisiana, we have USL, the University of Southern Louisiana. In Monroe, David, we have University of Northeastern Louisiana.
Right.
They all operate under LSU. So whatever LSU says, authoritatively speaking or policy-wise, can be handed down. Now, I have not yet actually encountered through my baby girl, Reagan, who goes to Southeastern Louisiana, any of the things that I have heard about that are going on college campi everywhere. And I've asked her. I said, have you heard any of this? And she says, no, I haven't. She said, I do have a most of the all my professors are, she said, I think they're all libs. And they for sure, you know, have what we describe as liberals. They have liberal tendencies or when they talk and when they conduct class. But no one is, they haven't gotten around to the bathrooms yet. But they're going to have to.
I think what goes on, though, is if you look at it, and I was pointing just to what's going on in education itself, your professors of, quote, education are basically just these indoctrinated liberals. And if you go to a junior college or you go to a university or a college, almost all your education courses are the same cap. I mean, realistically, what you should have is someone getting a legitimate degree and then teaching. What these people do is go through so-called education degrees, which are, for the most part, meaningless. You know, but it is, you know, it's the troops doing the marching orders and indoctrinating the majority of the youth in the country.
Well, Rick, thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate
you. Mike, and congratulations for 6 months.
Thank you.
Just to let you know, when you were exiled from the old country, I immediately dropped my subscription with them and became a founding brother, and I hope more people continue to do so for you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Rick. I really, really appreciate that, brother. God love you. 844-527-8723. Gosh, I had a thought that I was. I know. Okay. So the newspaper comes this morning and Mrs. Church. The headline from the New Orleans Advocate is Bel Edwards signs bill limiting TOPS awards.
Okay.
All right. Mrs. Church's response is, well, 2/3 of the kids that are going to college probably shouldn't be going anyway. So I really don't have a problem with that. I said, but Louisiana per capita still leads the planet. And bureaucrats, we have more bureaucrats per capita under the umbrella of the state of Louisiana employment. I said, this is just the legislature refusing to deal with its imbecility in 1974 and creating all these hell-forsaken boards and agencies that they have created. And we now have a payroll that is so large with so many useless, worthless, shiftless people out there that work for the state. If these people were forced, if the legislature would grow a set. Now, to me, we have to have another convention. We got to undo 74. It's got to be undone. Got to undo the ridiculous manner in which it can be amended. We have so many problems. But the first thing they got to do is stop the bleeding. So what do they put on the altar? Instead of the bureaucrats and the levy board and the Bessie board and all these other hell-forsaken entities that serve absolutely no purpose other than tenure and other than retirement and your health, your precious health insurance benefits that David and I had to pay for and our daughters now had to pay for, let's put the children on the altar, get Abraham's dagger out, and let's plunge it into their hearts.
Well, I'm going to straddle the fence here. I agree with Ms. Churches. I wish TOPS would go away because it's a socialistic program of the government paying for school. Baloney. Government can't pay for anything unless they took it out.
She says that too.
Took it out of me first. So yes, Candace, I say TOPS is out of here. But I will go.
Well, I want TOPS to be gone too, but
I'll double down with you.
But wait a minute, but the kids have been planning their entire school lives that it was going to be there.
Well, you know me. If I were going to back out of a program, we got to find a conscientious way to do it and where it doesn't hurt people. So I'm with you. People have been banking on our state government paying for college, so find some way to wean them off. But I also would agree with you wholeheartedly, and that is there is so much fat we could trim besides higher education. that the fact that they don't start anywhere else besides higher education shows it's nothing more than a way to bribe us and cajole us
and beat us
into submission and say, oh, please give me that program back so I can keep being a little socialist.
So they're going to do, they're trying to do to us what Loretta Lynch in the Injustice Department is trying to do in North Carolina, basically. Jaws Will is next at 844-527-8723. Folks, if you like what you're hearing here, and if you have liked, stop being a Bernie Sanders listener and go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com. Radio is expensive to produce, which is why Time Warner and Sirius XM and Clear Channel and Disney, so thousands, hundreds of radio stations, they own ABC, ABC Radio Network. This is why they are in control. So if you really want to do something about the mainstream media, and that does include, by the way, almost every member of the talk radio mafia, they're not on your side. They're not going to talk about these things that we talk about here. If you want to strike a blow for real broadcasting liberty and independence, then join us. Stop being a Bernie Sanders listener. Tell your friends and family to join us. And we can keep our programming as it is and even expand it, which we will slightly do next week when we had Suzanne Sherman live with the Suzanne option next Thursday and Friday. And by the way, we are live all the way to 2 p.m. Eastern time today. No, that's Central time, 3 p.m. Eastern time today.
Right.
With the live edition of The True Money Show with David Simpson and a live edition of My Story of America with Dr. Michael George. Here's what you do to support us. I could babble on for minutes, or you could just go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com, click the Veritas tab in the menu at the top of any page, and then click the SOS button. That'll take you to the page, explains everything right there. Take your choice. Become an affiliate, become a member. Be a crusader, sign up for a recurring donation, make a crowdfunding donation, pray to St. Joseph for us. All those things can be done. And by the way, frequent those people that you hear advertising here, like Bulldog Kia at 855-BULLDOG and BulldogKia.com and Buck Steele at BuckSteele.com. Jaws Will, next up on the Crusade Channel, 6 months commemoration show here. On the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Hey, Jaws, how you doing?
Good morning, my blessed brothers. How are you this morning?
Dilictissimi. What's that? Bona dia dilictissimi. Probably got the participles all the...
I don't know.
The cases. Steven's listening going, you said it wrong!
Hey, you know,
I got the right word.
The past couple days, I've been thinking about a couple things, and it finally got into a place where I could actually write them down and call you without horrible road noise. So the first thing that I noted was the juxtaposition between your post yesterday about what Miss McQueen had written regarding the Catholic Church's magisterial teaching towards. Homosexuality, transgenderism, versus what you see the Right Reverend Meyer write in regards to this thing in Fort Worth.
He based his on the forces
of the enemies, both within and without the church, beginning to collude with each other to start to create divisions and also marginalize the true beliefs of faithful Christians. That you start to see, now the Catholics, be it Sotomayor, may it be Kennedy versus, some of the mainline Protestant churches. And now we see this infighting, so now they can marginalize it.
Well, what I was going to say is what the bishop did was basically emote. That whole thing is not based on any magisterial teaching, nothing, no good, true, and beautiful, nothing that's historical, nothing that could possibly have come out of the, and I suspect at some level the Episcopalians have some form of catechism, and based it on absolutely nothing other than his own personal private emotions, which he wishes to bring to bear on that. Now, as a private citizen, you still shouldn't do that as a private citizen. So if you're going to do that, well, then, brother, it's over, because this is going to stand, and then the new flavor next week is going to be pedophiles and pederast, And then the flavor after that is going to be bigamist, and then it's going to be, polyamorist. And then after that, I don't know, let's see, the people with the beast got to get involved. And then all of a sudden you're going to have the National Necrophiliac Association is going to say, hey, you're going to let us hump dead people. Where does this end? There is no end. And that's why if it's not based upon something that is true and something that is true is eternally true, especially when it applies to something moral. So this is why, to me, all of this can be laid at the feet of original errors that begun 500 or so years ago. And they were inspired by errors by, as I said, people that wanted to play in philosophical playgrounds and wanted to tinker with the perfectly, perfectly beautiful and useful Aristotelian philosophy that was more perfected by St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Bonaventure. And that's why we find ourselves, because we've rejected tradition and we've rejected the past as any guideline whatsoever. It is only what we can make up today. Well, what do you start making up? You know what, today, 50-year-old plus guys that have white hair and blue eyes, you're dead. We're going to find you. You get to go to Logan's Run today. You know why? Because we don't like you. And what of you guys sneered at me, one of my kids? What's to stop it?
Now, Mike, you know me, and we've had several messages back and forth. No one would ever mistake me for a papist. Am I correct in saying that?
You're not a papist. No, no. I don't think they. Well, I don't know. I don't know you personally. I would say no.
No, but if I'm reading what the church's magisterium is regarding the teaching regarding these specific issues. I challenge any evangelical Christian, I challenge any Orthodox, I challenge anyone who professes Christianity to look at that and see where there's error. The problem is that we have these divisions that we perceive, and we're not willing to fight together on things that are absolute truth. We're willing to let these things which separate us instead of fighting together.
Well, Jazz, I mean, you know as well as I do that the problem is they reject probably from the beginning, that there is such a thing as absolute truth, that it's unknowable. So everybody's left with their opinion, and so we think we can all opinionize each other to death.
Well, David, that's certainly true. But when you see abject truth, and it's staring you in the face, you can't deny it. If you do, then you just don't seek truth at all. We've even within ourselves, have moved to a relativistic society.
Right. I think that's the issue. I think the issue becomes one of the people who just seriously lack goodwill. And so they're telling you that they're searching for truth, or at least they're looking for some type of certitude, but they're not. And these people are in the government, they're out the government, they're in religion, they're out of religion, they're in our society, they're in business. In other words, you find them anywhere and everywhere. It's the weeds growing up with the wheat. And I'm not sure we can fix it by just telling them the truth, because they in bad will either deny it or fight you as to what that means. They use all the old ways, semantics, nominalism, relativism, you name it. They're going to use those things that the society has just kind of cultivated. So that's why I believe we have the fights within the church, is because we have those people there too. I'm talking about the relativists and the nominalists who just simply will not accept an object of truth, as you talked about.
Well, and what he's talking about, David, is, and I don't know if you saw my piece from yesterday, under the headline of, hey, bathroom pervert promoters, the 10th Amendment doesn't come on a roll from Charmin.
I heard that, I think, yeah.
Okay, so here is a relevant teaching, and this comes from Moira... I linked to her.
McQueen.
There is a teaching, because what I wanted to know, David, was, all right, is there an actual teaching on this? There is. Transgender. Now, I couldn't locate it actually in magisterial code, but I could find it in the canon, and it's in catechism rather. And in the 2000, it was in the 97 catechism, the 2004 catechism.
Okay.
This is what it says. Briefly stated, each of us is made in God's image as a man or a woman. Gender identity is determined at conception, genetically, anatomically, and chromosomally. A person must accept their that objective identity. This is from the 1997 Catechism. Everyone, man and woman, should acknowledge and accept his or her sexual identity. Physical, moral, and spiritual differences and complementarity are oriented towards the goods of marriage and the flourishing of family life. The harmony of the couple and of society depends in part on the way in which the complementarity needs and mutual support between the sexes are lived out. Now, it was amended in 2004. Here's the amendment. According to this perspective, it is obligatory that positive law be conformed to the natural law, according to which sexual identity is indispensable because it is the objective condition for forming a couple and marriage. Mm-hmm. Now, hold on. Pope Benedict XVI, in addressing the Curia in 2004, said this, quote, "The profound falsehood of this gender identity theory and of the anthropological revolution contained within it is obvious. People dispute the idea that they have a nature given by their bodily identity, which serves as a defining element of the human being. They deny their nature and decide that it is not something previously given to them, but that they make it for themselves. According to the biblical creation account, being created by God as a male and female pertains to the essence of the human creature. This duality is an essential aspect of what being human is all about as ordained by God." Close quote.
Right. And I think that, you know, I think right away we see that Brother Francis and his view that subjectivism is the order of the day is proven out, because our popes, Christian people, anybody of common sense and good morality is talking about objective reality, and they're saying, well, I don't feel that way. you don't get to feel that way.
Well, what Benedict is saying here is even more profound, I think, in that, so you're saying that you are God. He gave you an identity, a gender identity, but you're saying, no, I can make my own. I don't need you. It is an as I said the first time, I'm going to repeat it. This is an attempt for the abolition of any remaining graces that may exist out there. Let's just go ahead and be done with them. There is no God. The state. You remember that clip from The Twilight Zone?
I do.
I'm going to play it when we come back from this break. The state has proven that there is no God. If the state gets to determine that there is no gender and you can't know what it is, well, then the state has then proven that there is no God, because we get gender from God. So Rod Serling, again, predicted the future in The Twilight Zone.
Hey, Jazz, I know what your problem is.
What's that, David?
Your problem is you're taking philosophy and you're becoming much too acute with your understanding of the world around you, and you've just got to conform to the way it is today, brother. Get in the river and swim along with the rest of the current.
Yeah, I blame my teachers for that. I wonder who those guys are. Maybe we should just round them up and, well, anyway. I wanted to bring up one other small thing, which kind of feeds into that. Is that if you look at the locations where these types of campaigns are beginning, we saw it in Houston with the sermons. We see it in Charlotte with transgenderism, and in Fort Worth with transgenderism. They're now starting to go into conservative states where there are large metropolitan areas that tend to be a little bit more liberal, and starting to use the concept of subsidiarity against Christians in terms of saying, well, if you don't want to be Christian, you can go into the state, or you can go into the community. Well, if now the community is there, now they've tricked us into saying, okay, well, what's our only recourse? Now we've got to go to the courts, and we know that the courts are loaded and are going to be against us. And once they decide, they're final.
That's a great observation.
Yeah. Well, and so this is the thing, and this is what my friend and Josh. We'll see you tonight, brother. Thank you.
You're welcome. You guys have a great day.
All right. Good to hear from you. 844-527-8723. Jeremy Nalewick observed on the Facebook, this whole thing is a setup. They want these cases to go to court. They want parents to go to court and sue. It's like, hey, parents, we're going to diddle your kids. What are you going to do about it? I want to sue your butt. That's what I'm going to do about it. And then as soon as it gets into court, they win. They know they're not going to lose. Homosexual sodomite marriage, slam dunk victory. Diddling kids in bathrooms, peeping Tom, slam dunk victory. Repealing genders, you can't do that. Yes, we can, slam dunk victory. The court is going to side with these wackos every single time because what the court as an extension of the general government wants to do is to make its authority supreme. I'm telling you, they're going to kill us. I don't know if God's granted me the grace to be a prophet, but everything that I've thought about this has come to fruition. And I'm telling you, we are at the precipice right now of where, all right, let's pretend like our Lord has not left yet. And told that and breathed on us. Holy Ghost hasn't come. As soon as he does, what does he say? In our beautiful sermon that...
You're talking about when he breathes on him?
No, before that, from Sunday, from Ascension Sunday, from the passage that we got from Sunday, from John's Gospel, that if they persecute they persecute me, I'm God, dude. Where do you see what they're going to do to you? They're going to throw you in sacks. They're going to put poisonous vipers and tarantulas and snakes.
You think it gets better? It doesn't get better.
Right. Yeah. If they did this to me,
right.
Oh, boy, wait. Woo-hoo. They're going to have Roman emperors. They're going to chain you to stone pillars at their parties. They're going to pour pitch all over you and oil. They're going to set you on fire, and you get to be the human torch.
As strange as it sounds, that was very edifying because at that very moment I was struggling with some whips I'm getting in society, and I said, oh, I'm supposed to get those whips. Okay. All right. Thanks. All right.
Well, and Father Bozan even said, we should be thankful.
Yeah, buck up, buddy.
Buck up, buddy. You should rejoice that you got whipped.
Yeah.
By the way, we just tied the all-time single-time listening record here on the six-month anniversary. Every time I refresh it, it gives me a new number, and I'm hoping that this is the one. Now, we're still in a tie, but there's still hope. But we did make a tie.
Okay.
But we set several different time period listening records. This is the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Why don't we take our time out now, come back, and we'll finish our final segment here. If you're on hold... hard to believe that all these phone calls today. But if you're on hold, please stay with us. This is the Mike Church Show. It's on the Crusade Channel. Our six-month anniversary is today. Go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com, click the Veritas tab, and then click the SOS button. You want us to make another 6 months? Do what's on the SOS page. Radio the way it should be.